everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 254.
And we'll see how it goes. Might be another two-parter. Who knows?
Who knows?
Anything could happen.
Maybe it'll be 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be any number of things.
There are no rules on the internet.
God knows there are.
Have you seen it?
No.
The internet.
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in quite a while. I got lost. I was up in Lake Tahoe where they don't have it.
Oh, they actually have nature.
Yeah, nature and, you know, ox carts and stuff like that.
And casinos.
And casinos, yes. Thank you to it, by the way. We had some film nerd fans that came out.
Oh, great.
I was headlining up at the Improv at Harvey's, and they came out. It was great. It's always wonderful.
There's worse places to be than Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe's pretty nice. I'm bummed they haven't gotten much snow up there at all. So I wish they would.
So you could have driven.
I could have driven. Glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Driving's for animals. yeah, it was a fun week with Howie, of course, and Avi Lieberman. And, you know, thanks to everyone who came up there. And then we got to get into the, you know, they had at Harvey's in one of the ballrooms, they had like a party for the high rollers for the Super Bowl.
Did you scam your way in?
Yeah, of course. It just went, yeah, we're the comics, man. Yeah, how you doing?
Perfect.
And got in and brought my buddy, and we just watched the Super Bowl in a ballroom on giant screens and ate food. And
now, was it packed? Because sometimes when they have those events for the high rollers, I remember I did one in New Orleans, like half of them don't even show up. They don't even care.
No, this one, everyone Well, I think it's the Super Bowl, you know, all the casinos were pretty full for the Super Bowl.
Right. Okay.
And it was a great game. I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who won to me, so it was just fun to watch. So, good times. Thanks, everybody, in beautiful Lake Tahoe. Come on now.
Well, we got a great show for you guys. We're going to be talking about The Imitation Game, Project Almanac. Of course, we're going to be talking about Project Almanac. And we have a guest who hasn't been here for a very long time.
A couple years.
And he's got some Stan Lee stories where he almost met him.
What?
Yeah.
well, his hands met him.
Yeah, his hands met him. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that later.
What a tease.
Oh,
no,
nice
his
tease.
Hands met Stanley,
that
but he didn't.
Really creepy. We're going to get into that later in the show. Should we just introduce
him? Let's introduce him.
Let's do it, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lead singer of Throwing Toasters, the band. He hasn't been here for a very long time, and we're happy to have him back. Also, one of the pioneers of podcasting, I would say. He's one of the first people that podcast, and he's now working with the Jim Henson Company. Ladies and gentlemen, Grant Pachoco.
Hello. Thanks, guys, for having me back. Great to be here.
Oh, remember the last time Grant was here, he did a musical review of A Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I do remember that now. That was fun. That was like in the first year we did the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Guys got to go check that out. It's a great song.
That's awesome.
And review.
And a great movie.
Yeah.
And just a phenomenal film. Michelle Rodriguez picking up arms against an alien invasion.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been up to, my friend?
Nothing much. I mean, just as Chris said, I tour with the Jim Henson Company regularly.
How is that?
It's great. It's fantastic.
And what do you do specifically?
We have a show called Puppet Up Uncensored, and it is sort of describe it. It's Whose Line Is It Anyway, but with puppets. But it's a live stage show on stage, and we perform to a camera, and there's big screens on either side of the stage, so the audience can watch us perform, or they can watch the screens and just see the locked off shot with the puppets. But it's a show unlike any other. And I mean, just last May, we went to the Melbourne Comedy Festival down in Australia, and we were down there for 5 weeks in Australia. We got to play at the Opera House in Sydney.
Oh man!
Very cool.
So it's a lot of fun. We just did 2 weeks in San Francisco right at the end of the year. So, and I think we have some shows in Culver City coming in March. The dates haven't been announced yet, but
that's great.
But it's a lot of fun.
I've heard so many great things about the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I love that city and Sydney. We went there for Earbuds.
That opera house is amazing.
Yeah, that opera house is fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool, man. Should we get into some cinemas?
I think we should get into it. I saw The Imitation Game over the weekend. I know we've talked about it before, and we're going to do a spoiler rap.
Imitation Game spoiler.
But I want to give my 2 cents. I thought it was awful. I didn't believe it. I don't think it actually happened. No. What? No, I'm kidding.
What are you, Bill Maher?
No, I actually, we went, it was a date night, so my wife and I went to see it, and I'm watching this movie, and it was one of those movies that just kind of washes over me. It reminded me a little bit of American Sniper in the sense that you're watching a biopic about one person during wartime.
Right.
A story that you haven't necessarily heard before. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see those parallels, because when you have a movie like Hurt Locker, it's a war movie.
Right.
But the fact that these were both movies that were biopics and war movies that came out the same exact year, I really liked it. I thought, you know, Benedict Cumberbunny did a fantastic job.
Benny Cumbo is amazing.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And Keira Knightley, you forget sometimes that she's actually a really good actress. When you're watching a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, you realize, oh, no, that's right, she's wasted here.
She's a really I think that's a great point, because I think I would like to see her do more different things than the period piece dress movies. I just,
I just love the whole, I'm glad the story is finally being told about breaking the whole Enigma code. What I found fascinating too is you've got all these, the best minds in the world trying to figure out how to break the code. And you've got one guy who's like, well, we can't break it. We're human beings. We have to build a machine that can break the code. Mm-hmm. And I found that absolutely so fascinating. And the fact that he was so ahead of his time, literally no one believed him. Like, well, you're out of your mind. That will never work. You're building a ham radio with, 100,000 mm-hmm. pounds or whatever. And just the fact that this entire thing got pulled off was, I thought, absolutely fascinating. And it's a very sad story too. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that more in the spoiler up.
Yeah, but it's good.
I really liked it. I think it deserves the nominations that it has, and it's a very competitive year. I think it would have a stronger chance to win any of these if it was a less competitive year, mm-hmm. but it deserves all the nominations it got.
Right on. All right.
Now, same thing with Project Almanac, right?
Grant, I'll let you go first on this movie.
I went and saw it yesterday. There was about five other people in the theater with me. And I will say that everybody else loved it. I realized as soon as the thing came up in the beginning that said MTV Films, I just said in my head, I go, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
This wasn't made for me. So just from that moment on, went into it with that mindset. There were just so many things in the film like, okay, I guess that's happening. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Joel Hodgson from Mystery Science Theater, and Joel kind of has this, people always ask him about bad movies, and he goes, it's just such a achievement to actually even get it up on the screen. So I'm just gonna sit there and go, well, they did it. They did it. It's up there. I haven't done that. So I just was sitting there and go, this isn't for me. And people laughing at things, and I'm going, why are they laughing at that? I'm not getting it. But and it wasn't laughing at because it was bad. It was laughing at the wacky things these kids were doing, jumping through time. It wasn't for me, so
Now, it was a time travel movie. They discover a time machine in someone's attic or something, or plans for one.
They discover plans. It's a kid whose dad died when he was 7 years old.
Uh-huh. And it was Flubber, right? His father was Flubber at the time?
Sure, yeah, of course. His dad was Flubber. No, he goes in his basement, and his dad was some real smart kid. These are all nerd kids. They introduce it like they're science-y nerd kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The lead character is a very good-looking athletic kid we're supposed to believe is a nerd. It can't talk to the girls. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. So they find their dad's plans. Their dad was part of a very secret, covert military blah, blah, blah called Project Almanac.
Right.
And I'll say this. As a fan
of time travel movies.
Time travel movies, there was some fun stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would happen if high school kids got a hold of a time machine? They'd go see an awesome concert. That kind of stuff was funny. You know, I'm going to go back and meet this girl again. And some of that stuff I found amusing, but not for, I couldn't. Fuck you for making another handheld found footage movie. Fucking shut it down. It is such a stupid. First of all, I was in the back row.
Right.
I got motion sickness. So I'm already wanting, I was live tweeting it.
Oh, I know. They're great tweets.
Michael Bay has literally made me sick because he produced this, so I blame him. And then, I guess I'm going to get into some spoilers here. If anyone wants to go see this, it's your fucking problem. but they introduce the found footage thing, and this is why it's so dumb. You are then so painted into a corner with this stupid contrived device.
And you have to use it even when it's completely inappropriate to use it. Yeah, that happens to all the, a lot of these found footage movies. He goes, oh, well, wow, I could, you know what really go well here? A Steadicam. But no.
So they would, and then of course they put in a couple like, wow, do you guys film everything? No one
films everything.
No one would film everything.
They made that a rule. That was one of their time travel rules.
Yeah.
Was we have this rule, we have, we have to go together, da 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 da, and we must film everything.
So they
and
make,
no one gets fed after midnight.
So they make that, exactly. They make that rule, and then there's some times where a big thing happens. They finally get the machine to go, and then it's in slow motion.
Right.
And the camera's moving around, and so they just bail on it to the, like, well, that's, what are you talking about? Like, they just introduce, and it's like what Grant said, they just introduce stuff like, well, science, it may be. And, or someone will, this is my favorite thing. Someone will ask some question about, hey, wait, how could you do that science-wise? And he goes, oh, stop asking so many questions. You're so annoying. Like, oh, that's how we're going to explain the science behind it? It's just...
to ignore it?
To ignore it. And it was just like... I mean, and it does that thing of... And again, this is why I love the time travel premise is if you go back and change something, what would it affect?
What else would it,
what would
else? The butterfly effect.
Yeah, the butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. So then this movie does that, and it just becomes a Final Destination movie. Then it's basically what happens.
Oh, really?
In terms of like, well, then everyone's going to start dying or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Did it feel like, according to the trailer, too, it's like literally like the apocalypse is starting from them changing some stuff.
Yeah, and that's like, okay. And then there's some stuff, I just did it to fall in love with this girl. And it's like, this girl was giving him signals. Like, from the trailer, you're like, oh, that chick's hot, and she's into him, and he's just like...
What you're saying is you're not buying this movie?
Here's the thing. There were moments I was engaged and went, this could be a cool premise.
Right.
If it didn't, A, have the stupid found footage thing, and mm-hmm. B, if it had no involvement in Michael Bay and nobody writing it that was an idiot. Like
a lot of ifs.
It's a lot of ifs.
Now you're talking about Final Countdown.
Yeah, it's
you're like if you took everything that you just said and made a good time travel movie, because there are some very good time travel movies. And
it's that thing with the remember that movie that came out a year or two ago where the high school kids get the superpowers?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And again, the same thing. It was a cool premise.
But do you have to force the found footage thing into it?
Force the found footage thing into it, which ruined it. And then, like, and this thing just felt like its depiction of high school kids was so stupid. Like, I guess that's MTV's bread and butter is these kids are idiots or what, right. Like, I felt
so 50-year-old producers are making a movie about teenagers.
That's what it felt like to me.
Well, and there was even one line, no Facebooking, no Twitter, no Instagram. Like, that was actually a line in the film, and it was like, we have to mention these things.
Yeah, yeah. Because, so, like, I don't know how they work, but we should mention
them. Well, the kids use them.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them on CNN.
Yeah.
So we should definitely mention them.
Well, then there's
no MySpace. Yes,
that's bad. But like, there's like something. I won't give a spoiler, but something major happens, and the kid, like, it's just one of those situations where you would get the hell out of there, but he runs back to get the camera because he have to go back and get the camera, or else there won't be a movie.
It's one of the rules.
Yeah, you have to film everything.
I know, and it's so. It was so dumb.
Wow.
So dumb.
It's so weird that, like a Michael Bay produced movie coming out in January would be stupid.
And I wrote the first draft of the
review.
Article, so that's coming.
Yeah, and I was not able to get to see anything other than Imitation Game, but I'll make the deal that when I'm in Lake Tahoe, I'll see a horrible movie and write a review.
Yeah, you got to see Mordecai.
Yeah, all right.
Or some piece of shit like that.
It'll even out, yeah.
Because that was... I literally was
done.
Like, I'm so glad I'm not walking by this beautiful lake.
Yeah.
So glad I'm in a movie theater watching this. Goddamn.
How many people were in the theater with you?
I think I had the same five people that went to Grant showing.
Yeah.
And some of them laughed and went, "That was all right." And I was just like, "All right, man, you guys."
I can't believe I drove all the way to Lake Tahoe for this movie.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, okay. But there was no, I mean, you know, it was The Boy Next Door was the choice, and then a couple
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, it was.
Right, it's the January, February choices. Where do we get into what's in the theaters this weekend?
Oh, I'm fired up, actually. I'm actually excited for what's coming in the theaters this weekend. But, you know, whatever. All right. Say something.
Wait. Hold on. I was looking at one of the movies coming out this weekend. It's like I forgot to put on that I am actually excited about.
Which?
The SpongeBob movie.
All right. It's going to be. Get into
looks,
that.
Looks
we'll
great. Okay. We have a new sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
It's really. This is what I love about new sponsors is when they actually send us what they're selling.
Yes.
So this, we can kind of get an idea of what it is. We can tell you guys about it. And this is Pro Flowers, proflowers.com. And Valentine's Day is next week, guys. And if you have a sweetheart, you know if she says, "Don't get me flowers," that means you better fucking get me some flowers. That is a cliche, but it is true.
You know,
I've actually been on the other side of it. You know how many fights I've gotten into with my wife that starts with, "You said you didn't want anything."
Right.
You know, they always, it's like, okay, no, but just say you want flowers.
You know what? I don't mind. I've never had anybody buy me flowers, and I wouldn't mind it.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'd like to get flowers.
That's
like,
very, very progressive of you.
I like getting flowers. Why wouldn't I want flowers? You know what I mean? I don't like to have a pretty house.
It smells nice.
It can't just smell like surfboards and katana oil. You know, so go to proflowers.com.
In 50 years, it can.
Yeah. Definitely it should. Go to proflowers.com.
Proflowers.com. Now, we want to talk to you a little bit about this. Is one of the things about these flowers is that they're completely fresh. So a lot of times when you get them delivered, they're actually still in bud form. So when you actually put them in the water and the vase that they send with it, they'll actually bloom in like a day or two. That's what happened to ours.
Okay. I will give you the best testimonial about this product.
Yeah.
So last Wednesday, I flew to Lake Tahoe.
Right.
These flowers showed up on my front door, I think, on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I got home.
And first of all, no one stole them.
Nobody stole them. I love my building. My building people are very nice. So it sat on my front door for 5 days. I got home. Today's Tuesday, the 3rd. I got home last night, Monday, the 2nd, at about 8 o'clock. And I see them on my front door, and I'm like, oh, man, these have been sitting here for a week. Are they going to be any good? So I open them up, and they're sealed. They're in one of those sponge things. You know, you put the stems in the sponge.
Yeah.
That are soaked. And they're, like, sealed up. And I'm like, okay. And it says, cut off an inch from the bottom. And
well, you could say they were in floral suspended animation.
Yeah, so they could, fly 100 light years to the other end of the galaxy. Exactly.
To repopulate a planet.
Exactly. Go to that Hoth planet that was in Interstellar and put some flowers on it. I open them up. They say cut an inch off the bottom, put them in water with the plant food, and in 12 hours they will open up. And I'm like, okay, I bet you they're not going to do it. I wake up this morning to go swim laps. Boom. They're this is like,
that's awesome.
It sat up for 5 days. The sponge was already dry by the time I opened up. So these flowers are still amazing. So I cannot recommend these enough. If you're going to buy flowers for somebody, birthday, whatever, celebrate something. Obviously, Valentine's Day is coming right around the corner.
Yeah. And you know what? We got a special deal for you guys. Only if you type in our code. This is actually, and it expires Friday. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those time sensitive ads. You get 100 blooms of love with a free glass vase for just $19.99. But you can upgrade it with gourmet chocolates and a stuffed bear for $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com and use our code CFN. Now, there's like a little microphone
in the
top right corner. That's where you click on that and you type in the code CFN and you get that special deal. That's the only way you can get that special deal. And it expires Friday.
Friday the 8th at midnight.
Yes. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention with ProFlowers and... also with Sherry's Berries as well, when we're going to be talking about them in another week. But they want to hear your feedback, like on Twitter. Like if you use their product and they want to know if you're happy or not. Like they've got great customer service and they even told us, let your fans know that we want to know if there was a problem with the delivery, if something didn't come right. So when you guys order and let us know and tweet a picture of the flowers when you get them, whatever. But they want to know good or bad.
Especially like if there was a problem, because which this is the sign of a good company. They want to fix it and make it better. So
right.
proflowers.com, click the microphone, the blue microphone in the right-hand corner, and coupon code CFN.
Do it before Friday.
Mm-hmm. Get some flowers.
So now get your flower on.
Get it, flower it up, kids.
Floral work it.
Yeah, it is a hashtag floral work it.
So now, Grant, we want to talk to you about touring with the Jim Henson Company, because you've got a special show, Puppet Up, but you just recently interviewed Stan Lee. Now, we want to hear about that story.
All right. Well, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Darren, is Stan Lee's assistant, mm-hmm. and he loves puppets. This guy, Darren, loves puppets, and he goes, well, you know, Stan has a YouTube channel, and we're looking for new content for the YouTube channel. Can you come up with an idea? So I got together with my friend Russ Walco, who's amazing puppeteer. He's an amazing puppet builder. He builds for the Jim Henson Company all the time. And we came up with this idea called the Ultimate Nerdament. And basically, it's these two puppets. One's a nerd. It's a nerd, and then his best friend robot that he built. And we went to Kamikaze in L.A., which was a big sci-fi convention. We were there for 3 days. And we interviewed people about superpowers. So it's sort of like March Madness meets comic books. So we made an eight-power tournament, and we asked people each matchup, and powers advanced. And so the show, The Ultimate Nerdament, is us, you know, each episode is two powers battling it out to find one winner. And it was a lot of fun. But then on the very last day, one of Stan's other assistants goes, well, why don't we just bring Stan by and you can talk to Stan about the thing? And we're like, yeah, okay. So we were just kind of told, we were filming people and we were just kind of told it would happen. And so when we puppeteer, we are looking at a monitor so we can see how the puppets are moving on the screen. Mm-hmm. And that's how most television movie puppetry is done. And so all of a sudden, suddenly Stan Lee was standing right behind us. And so we interviewed him about the two superpowers that were in the finals, and he gave great answers. He was hilarious. And then they whisked him away. And as they whisked him away, I realized, I said to Russ, I go, we didn't really get to meet him. This is what you said. He talked to our hands, but we didn't get to say hi to him, you know. But he still is very cool. And the show is on Stanley's World of Heroes, and it's doing really well. They love it, and they want us to do a second season of it at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con in May.
Oh, cool.
And we're working with we're kind of, you know, teasing them on the idea, but we're like, well, you know, if this Stanley's YouTube channel, if he needs two reporters on the red carpet for the Avengers or for Ant-Man, Stanley and Jax, these two puppet characters, would love to do it. And they're like, that's an interesting idea. So that would be awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but they definitely said, oh, and they brought, at Kamikaze, they brought DMC from Run DMC because he's got a comic out. So they brought him to come talk to us. And we talked to Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica. And so they were like, okay, next time we're just going to bring celebrities by all the time.
Technically like, from both Battlestar Galactica.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So then. Where can people see this, Stan Lee? It's on...
Well, you can go to Stanley's YouTube channel, World of Heroes, or you can go to nerdament.com, just nerdament.com, and then I post all the episodes there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's where you can go and check. And it's family friendly. It's a lot of fun. We kind of made the rule, we're not going to make fun of people in costume because, and actually one guy was like, he didn't want to talk to us because some other film crew, he was dressed as Green Lantern, and some other film crew would come up to him and their questions were like, so when's the last time you slept with a girl? And like, those were all his questions. I'm like, no, we're having fun. We're fans. We're talking about superpowers. And people gave great, you know, because we got to ask them, we're like, oh, you want to have shape-shifting? Well, what would you shape-shift into? And we got some amazing, hilarious answers. And just had a ton of fun. So it's a lot of fun.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, you've been in the podcast space for a long time. And also, interestingly, with puppets. So
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did a podcast called The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Mm-hmm. And our first podcast was November 7th, 2004.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's back in the days we had to hand-code your RSS feed. Right. Okay. And so yeah, and I'm still doing podcasts. Dr. Floyd ended in 2012 maybe. Mm-hmm. And then So now I have a show called The Uncle Interloper Show, which is a puppet thing. It's a little puppet dog character, very family friendly. And he goes around. Like, I took him with me to Australia and filmed. We went to a place called Featherdale Wildlife Park. And so it's just him talking to a koala bear. Or no, they're not koala bears. They're just koalas. They're not bears. Sorry. I was scolded in Australia.
Yeah, they're adamant about that down there.
It's a koala.
It's not a bear. It's a koala. Anyway, but it's things like that. It's him out and about, and he's just this tiny little puppet that's fun to bring with me everywhere. So that is the main podcast I'm working on right now. I have a couple other audio dramas that are in various states of production, but that's the Uncle Interloper Show is the main thing right now.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So what... since we're talking about movies too, what are your favorite like puppet driven like movies? I guess you have to. I'm trying to think other ones that Jim Henson didn't make that are everything from Labyrinth to Dark Crystal and other ones.
I
Neverending Story, of course.
Neverending Story, yeah. I'm more, I don't know, like more things that kind of influenced me puppet-wise were more TV things.
Uh-huh.
Like growing up in San Francisco, there was a show called Buster and Me that was just a local puppet show. And, that influenced me just as much as the Muppets did. Mm-hmm. As far as Muppets go, I probably will get in trouble for saying it, but I haven't necessarily enjoyed the past two Muppet films. I thought they were okay. I thought the second one was better of the two more recent ones. The first one, I was just like, I want more Muppets. Why are there people? I want more Muppets. And I thought the second one was better, but would I love to work on it? Yes, of course. I would in a heartbeat. And I know a lot of people who did work on it. But
what got you into puppetry? Like when and why?
I was always just fascinated with it. It was never like I never set out to like, oh, I'm going to be a puppeteer. But when we started doing Dr. Floyd, we wanted to do more video things. And Doug, who created Dr. Floyd with me, he built a puppet. And then I was like, oh, I want to try building a puppet. And so I didn't know what I was doing, but I got a couple books and built my own. And then somebody who worked at the Jim Henson Company, this is back when they still owned the Muppets, said, hey, we're filming this. It's sort of a sizzle reel for America's Next Muppet, and it's going to be like American Idol, but with puppets and puppeteers. And we would like you to come be part of the sizzle reel. So I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't know really what I was doing at all, but... in the group of people, they threw in a few ringers of like pro puppeteers who were just kind of like supposed to play characters and kind of create, because puppeteers, there's no controversy with puppeteers. We're pretty we're pretty lame. So they threw them in to kind of get a little, and one of them was Leslie Carrar Rudolph, who is Abby Cadabby on Sesame Street.
Right.
I met her that day, and we've been friends ever since. And I had no goal of doing puppetry, but she was in the original incarnation of what became Puppet Up, and they put out it like they just said, oh well, we're looking for more people to join this, and she recommended me, and because I had done stand up for so long, and she was like, oh, he's funny, he's real funny, and he's quick and. So that's kind of how it, and it just spiraled from there.
And are you doing any podcasting right now?
Yeah, the Uncle Interloper Show is it's a video podcast, but it is a podcast. And I just finished my Grant's Advent calendar that I do. I've done for 10 years. I think this was the 10th year I've done it, and that is a daily podcast counting down the days till Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So it's only in December.
It's only in December, yeah. But it's so funny because it's become this thing where in August, I'll get emails. You're going to do the advent calendar again, right?
Oh,
my
great.
Kids love the advent calendar. You're going to do it, right? And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Because you've been trying to do more like family-friendly podcasting.
Right, I really try to do. I have this one idea that I may do that would not be family-friendly, but I've just been so concentrated on doing the old-time radio show type family-friendly stuff. Like I just did a series last year called The Tales of Deputy Guppy, and it's an underwater western, so they're all fish, but it's all audio drama, and it's all for kids. But we were doing a thing, or I was doing a thing where each episode came with a PDF that kids could print out and then cut out, and they could build the town So listen to every episode, they could build the whole town and then have their own little adventures with
That's a great idea. We should do that.
It's fun.
We should build a CFN town.
It's fun.
PDFs. We could have like a Kitten Hand skyscraper. That's a great idea. We'll make a Christmas village. We'll work on that this year.
Sure. I'm all for it. We got so much time to build a village.
That's a great idea. All right. Grant, we're going to need the name of your paper village design people.
It's me. Actually, what I did was, this is really easy, was the old Lone Ranger radio drama did that on boxes of Cheerios.
Oh, wow.
And so if you go online, the towns are there. So I just took the towns and I copied the outline, but then drew in new stuff. So it's completely different.
Great.
But so the houses are already pre-built.
Right.
So just cheating. That's how you do it.
So getting back to movies, I know, like, I actually recently saw Labyrinth again, which is one of my favorite Jim Henson movies of all time. Like, Dark Crystal doesn't really hold up as much. I remember as a kid seeing that, I'm like, oh, that was okay. Then I saw it again with my kids, and they could barely get through it. Whereas Labyrinth is another story. Labyrinth, there's something so magical about that film where you have everything from one of the members of Monty Python writing the script, George Lucas producing, and David Bowie in pants that are way too tight, singing songs with a bunch of goblins.
Does David Bowie ever worn loose pants for anything? Like, when his pajamas are probably like latex.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
He's dipped into his pajamas.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Connelly. And it was it's a great story. It's a really fun movie, and it does that great thing that family movies do, where it touches and hints on much more complex issues and ideas and themes than an actual just kind of like a kid's movie. So definitely everyone check out Labyrinth if you haven't seen it, especially if you have kids. Now,
I'll also say that the Toby who played the baby, Toby Froud, the Froud's who designed it, their son who played the baby in that, he just made a puppet movie. I haven't been able to see it, but people say it's really fantastic. Just kind of an independent puppet film.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
And I'm horrible. I'm forgetting the name of it. But if you search Toby Froud, I'm sure it'll come up. It's,
And it's also, you don't really see that type of filmmaking or even on television anymore. It's everything is all computer generated now. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily see as many practical effects. And when you look at like a movie like Labyrinth and how elaborate not only the sets but the puppets actually were, like Jim Henson's Creature Shop has made some amazing things.
Yeah.
Like when you also look at things like The Storyteller, you know, giant dragons and griffins that take like many people to actually
operate.
Yeah, it's really it's fascinating, and it's an art I hope we never lose. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of, you know, with computers kind of taking over a lot of that work, I hope we always still have that really cool puppetry and creature designs practical.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm holding out hope for the new Star Wars film because there was that first announcement that J.J. Abrams did where the creature walked right up next to him and it was a real creature. It wasn't CG. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly that ball droid is a real droid. That's not computer.
Wow.
Yeah. It's remote controlled. It rolls around and everything. So fingers crossed that
that's very cool.
That it'll be real cool.
So any other movies that influenced you?
That influenced me.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny to get into Dr. Floyd, and you talk about another George Lucas film, but one that no one talks about is I loved Radioland Murders.
You're right. No one does talk about
that. Right. But that really inspired me to do the Dr. Floyd podcast because it was all about old time radio and it's, you know, I don't know. I like the movie. I like it. It's one that I watch and I've watched a couple times, but it's an all-star cast.
There's a ton of people in that movie. Yeah.
It's written by George Lucas, and he did the story in Willard Hayuk. It's directed by Mel Smith. It came out in 1994, and it's got Brian Benben and Mary Stuart Masterson and Ned Beatty. It's got one of those movies that's got like 1,000 people in it.
What year was it?
1994.
94, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so that was a huge influence on Dr. Floyd stuff.
Oh, cool.
The early episodes of Dr. Floyd use snippets from the soundtrack of Radioland Murders. And then once we found out people were listening, we went and had a guy remove change all the music. Yeah.
Remove but, the copyrighted music.
Right, exactly. Once podcasting became a thing. So, yeah. But yeah, and more recent movies, I mean, I'm a sucker for the Marvel films.
Oh, absolutely.
They're really good. Yeah.
And I felt almost bad doing it, but when I was in Australia, I saw Captain America. I go, should I be seeing Captain America in Australia? But but I loved it, and...
You're goddamn right. That's right.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite movies so far out of the whole series. Winter Soldier, I think.
That was one of my favorites, too. That one and Avengers are my two favorites out of all of them.
I know.
A little Guardians of the Galaxy is up there, too.
I don't know. It's hard for me. Yeah, I might have to put Guardians of the Galaxy on top of it, but I don't know. They're all.
Yeah, I didn't see any of them that went, man, that was the worst movie.
No.
Yeah, those are terrible. The only ones, there were a few iffy ones before they got their act together, like the Hulk movie with Edward Norton was, no one really talks about that one.
No.
But, you know, Iron Man kind of set the tone and kind of started the whole ball rolling.
I know it's not a movie, but I'm very excited for Daredevil. The Netflix series.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's my favorite character.
When is that coming out?
April 10th. You will not hear from me. April 10th.
I wonder
10th through the 15th. You will be out.
Because they'll probably release the entire season.
Sure. Yeah, all at once. Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Very excited.
Grant's going to get some. You're going to what? Have a diaper?
Yeah.
Sit in front of the TV? Just go?
Pretty much, yeah. You can watch on your iPad. You don't have to stop.
Yeah.
Good techniques, buddy.
So we'll talk about DVDs. Now, John Wick.
This is one of those films, I just missed it when it came out.
I know, I missed it too, and everyone's saying, oh, you got to see it.
You got to see it, you got to see it. So I'm going to make an effort to see this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know?
Johnny Wick.
And it's weird, that's one of those movies too. It had like a weird release window too. Like it wasn't out for that long, and there was a bunch of stuff out, and it was kind of like, you know, that would have been a great movie to release in... Kind of like
the other thing too, I think it was one of those movies where I was like
emptier times.
Well, they didn't get behind it.
I think they just
couldn't figure out
how to market it.
You know, Keanu Reeves is this sort of grizzled bad guy. Like, I don't think they could. They just were like, I don't know, it's weird, and maybe it won't do well. And some people, you know, I've heard a handful of people say they really didn't like it, but most people said they really did that I've spoken with. So I think that was part of it.
I'm looking forward to catching it on DVD and seeing what the fuss is all about.
I want to see it, man.
The next one is Dracula Untold, which is like, why did this one take so long to come out to DVD? It's what were you guys waiting for? You know,
big release party for Dracula Untold.
Yeah. So now, Neil, you want to check out Neil's written review on the site, because he had that kind of, when I talked to him about it, he kind of had that look in his eyes like, you know, it was better than I thought it would be, because it followed historically some of the biography of Vlad the Impaler, and they said, and then it just went nuts. Then the CG took over and it was ridiculous. He said, but the setup and, you know, the actual beginning of the film, you're like, well, it's, you know, this could be like a really interesting movie about this horrible person in history. And even if it did add like the Dracula legend, it said, but it just went so ridiculous and, you know, over the top. It was a mess from that point on, from the CG. So so watch the first half of the film and read Neil's review. I want to do a DVD pick. I want you to pull this one up on IMDb, Cries and Whispers. This is an Ingmar Bergman film. And since we got a lot of Academy Awards talk, I wanted to check out one of the older Academy Award
nominees. 1972.
And how many awards was it actually nominated for? I think it was Best Picture, Best Director, and
it actually
I think
won
for cinematography, I think.
It won cinematography, Best Picture, and Best Director, and it was nominated for Best Writing and Best Costume
Design. It won for Best Picture?
No, I'm sorry.
It was nominated.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It won for Best Cinematographer, nominated Best Picture, Best Director, Best Writing, and Best Costume Design.
Okay, this movie I thought was going to kind of be a drama about three sisters, which it was. One of them's dying, and they're kind of reconciling the horrible way they've kind of treated each other over the years. It was that, but it was also one of the most disturbing films I've seen in a long time. Now, when you think an Academy Award nominated film, especially one that won one and was nominated for all these awards. You don't think it's going to have a scene with a woman self-mutilating her vagina because she doesn't want to have sex with her husband.
Jesus
so
Christ.
I was like, well, oh my God, I had no idea that scene was coming, and it was horrifying. God. It was absolutely horrifying. And I almost turned the movie off. At that point,
I want to turn this podcast.
Yeah,
off.
So it caught me so off guard, and you know, it's obviously an Ingmar Bergman film, so the drama is very strong and it's very poignant. But that was just unbelievable. So this kind of a spoiler alert, but it was so off putting. It's my duty to warn
you.
Yeah,
you need to know
about that scene is in this film.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to see it now.
No. And if someone had told me, I'd probably go, you know what? I think I'll pass. He's got a lot of movies. He's one of my favorite directors. There's other things I could see.
1970. That was a crazy time back in the
70s. Yeah. So I can only imagine what the response was at the time when that was the movie was being shown. So it is a very strong, disturbing drama with some also very disturbing other elements in it. And the thing that's so fascinating, too, about Swedish movies, especially Ingmar Bergman, even when they're shooting dramas, they use some horror movie techniques and elements. There's these really uncomfortable close-ups, usage of sound, everything from ominous, like, settings to with the pacing. It's really... It's not something that American directors do all the time, especially with drama. So it's one of the things that you can really see how someone from a different perspective approaches just the language of film. So it's really worth a look if you know what's coming.
Well, just on the IMDb page, they have the trivia about it. It's Bergman used his own money for the film, and he, shocker, couldn't find an American distributor.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because they felt it was a little too uncommercial.
Yeah.
And I guess Roger Corman helped get distribution for it.
Yeah, he was looking for a movie to like help us the prestige of his new distribution company. And what an odd match that you know, Ingmar Bergman and Roger Corman. But you know what? That's the thing about this movie. There were elements of both in it. That's for sure. So it is really it's worth a look, but be prepared. So cries and whispers.
Well, we know what the cries are.
Yes.
All right. So premiering this week,
we have Jupiter Ascending. A lot of trailers being unloaded wow. for this movie, and I think it's an air of desperation. We got to make some of this money back.
Oh, Eddie Redd, like all these really good actors are in it. They're just like, what are you doing?
It's fascinating.
It looks really bad.
Yeah, and you know, Eddie Redmayne's thinking, well, I kind of hoped that movie would have come out before my Stephen Hawking movie.
Yeah, before I got the Oscar nomination, yeah. I win the Golden Globe. I wish this thing could have
They said it was going to come out last year. Yeah. You know, it's one of those movies got pushed back.
They would have just released this thing in September. No one would remember it or be talking about it because everyone would be talking about Theory of Everything.
And also, it made him actually made some money.
Yeah. This is going to be a bad
it's got nothing. There's no good buzz on it. It's got very little going for it except Channing Tatum's elf ears.
Whoops, sorry, that was my nail.
So good luck if you want to go see this movie.
And
also Seventh Son. So we wish you even greater luck if you want to go see this one.
Oh.
Another movie that got delayed, blah 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 blah. And all right, well, it's February.
Oh, it's just like someone went nuts with the CG. And then there's, I think Jeff Bridges, isn't he like, rah, 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 like doing one of his stupid
Pretty
voices?
Pretty much. Yeah. It's okay. He's very, you know, he's a gruff mentor.
Mm.
Yeah. He might even be an alcoholic. I'm not sure.
Okay, great.
You know, and this, depending on his.
And a kid didn't know that he's the chosen one, has to go out and fight the things with the stuff.
Seventh son of a seventh son, baby.
Great.
I think that's probably a line in the movie.
Let's hope. Yeah, seventh son, baby. And then jumps on a dragon and rides off.
Well, see, now I want to see the movie. I'm
in.
So, okay. Yeah, it's there's plenty of movies to catch up on and not see those two. And also the SpongeBob SquarePants movie is coming out. Now, my kids are very excited to see this, but I got to say, they do a good job. The last movie I saw, the SpongeBob movie, was actually had like Alec Baldwin in it, and it was really funny. These are great kind of movies that are just, like, they follow the TV show. Like, you know, a lot of times it wasn't just kids ever watching SpongeBob. It was college kids and mm-hmm. people that just really liked animation. So this one, they kind of, they go out into the, quote, real world, and, you know, they become computer generated, so everything becomes 3D. So I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to have the same vibe as, like, the Lego movie, this one. So I'm looking forward to it, to bring the kids to it.
I saw the preview before Project Almanac and then was sad. But I'll go back in time and watch SpongeBob. But what I love is when they're in the real world, it's their CG, but also the real world kind of looks cartoony. Like it's right. like the colors everybody's wearing, and it looks great. It looks
fun.
Yeah,
yeah. It looks really fun.
All right. Let's go to some fan feedback about the American Sniper spoiler rep that we did. Some really great comments, you guys, on the Facebook fan page. First of all, one fan, Brian Hoddling, asked if my uncle, when I talked about he fought in Korea, asked if he was in the Chosing Reservoir, and there's a documentary that he put a link to on I think it's on Amazon. Brian, I don't know that, and I will try to find that information out. There's a lot about my uncle that we just his
it's
wife
been redacted.
Well, no, it hasn't been redacted so much. It just you know, after he committed suicide, his wife just got rid of a lot of his personal stuff, and so my family just doesn't know anything about.
So they don't know the history.
They don't know the history. Oh, so wow. I'll look into that. But the other. There's a great comment here because one of our criticisms of the movie was, would he really be on the phone in a goddamn firefight? Yeah. Okay, well, Kenny Mitchell posted on the Facebook fan page, just so you know, the far-fetched sniper on a phone story happened between my friend and his dad. He had been sitting miles away on a rooftop board while waiting for the baddies to show up, and they did while he was on the phone. UK sniper team in Afghanistan. So, Kenny, that is awesome, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Did he hang up?
Did he? Not did he put it on speakerphone, Kenny? How did he?
Yeah, how did the story end?
Did he have a Bluetooth? How did this all shake out? And then Peter Frazier wrote, "Great movie. I have no effing idea how Bill Maher thought this was a propaganda recruitment film. This was a soldier's journey. The movie left me hollowed out." Going to be thinking about it for days, won't lie, a couple of times in theater almost lost it. Another thing, I can't recall the last time a theater emptied when it was done and you could hear a literally pin drop. That's a great comment, Peter. And then Samuel Maynard wrote, you guys didn't touch at all on Chris Kyle being a big fat liar. Which now this is again, more information has come out.
And it also shows the wide spectrum of responses to this film.
It's a great thing. And this is when I'm so glad you guys are doing this. Someone else on Twitter posted, oh, you know, decent movie. I liked your guys' spoiler ep, but the whole tying 9/11 to Iraq was a bunch of neocon bullshit. A great valid point. So let me address the Chris Kyle being a liar thing. First of all, I didn't know about that. The liar thing, this has all come out in this sort of media tsunami, so to speak, surrounding this film. Jesse Ventura, former governor of the great state of Minnesota, also a former Navy SEAL.
There was a lawsuit
that he won against Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle said somebody came up to him in a bar and said, you know, you Navy SEALs or something, said something to him, and Chris Kyle punched him out. And he said later in an interview, oh, that was Jesse Ventura. And Ventura's like, that's bullshit. So that's what the Samuel Maynard comment is. The reason why we didn't address it is twofold. One, I didn't know about that at the time of seeing the movie and at the time of doing the spoiler rep.
And it wasn't in the film.
And two, it's not in the film. And this goes back to what we said of the Chris Kyle public persona, the Chris Kyle from the book, that's probably not what this movie is. But in terms of, as we said, as a film, I think it's a good movie, and I think it shows one soldier what happens when they go over there and how, as Laura Howe said, I think she made a very a great point of, if we're going to train young men to be professional killers, they're going to come back a little different.
Yes.
You know, and
they might have some trouble readjusting.
They might have some trouble readjusting. And however that manifests itself.
Right.
Either believing the hype of you're the legend or whatever,
right.
whatever that is. So these are great comments, you guys.
And that also brings us back to the point of, like, with the Imitation Game is where you have a wartime biopic too. We're so far removed from the Imitation Game.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have, there was never, like, he never went on a bunch of talk shows. You know, so you don't have all this this history of, like, oh no, you could see him on this show saying this, you could see him on this show saying this. That didn't exist back then.
There's no YouTube footage of
exactly. So there may well be just as many inconsistencies for the Imitation Game, but there's no. We don't have that big, like you said, media frenzy of digging, and also all this footage.
And they also think that the point you bring up too is, which is good, which is, you know, they're still fighting now. ISIS is in Iraq. We've already sent people over there. They're debating, should we send more? So the Iraq thing, you know, World War II is done. You know, we got that cleaned up. You know, this is still going on. We still have troops in Afghanistan. So it really, I think, is part of the reason why there
Are you saying we don't have any troops in Iraq?
No, we have some there. Yeah. Well, we just sent 2,500 over to fight ISIS, and then I'm sure there's some contractors who've been there the entire time. Yeah.
You know what? I think there's also some there that probably aren't being counted.
Yeah. There must be a couple guys off the books hanging around.
Probably a few off the books over in, most likely.
Did you see that
advisors.
Movie at all, Grant?
No, I did not. I just know, I just know the, I thought it was funny, the scene with the baby.
That's the fake baby. Yeah, that we got so much of that on Twitter. Like, the biggest crime of that movie is the fake baby.
Yeah. And I would love to hear the behind the scenes. Like, Bradley, let me just make the arm move a little bit.
Yeah, just
next scene.
Yeah,
let me. Can I just make the arm move?
Thank you guys. That is great fan feedback, and we love these kind of discussions and about a movie like this.
Yes, and also for the site spotlight, we have Neil's Predestination review. Now, there is actually a good time travel movie out right now.
What?
And this is the guys that did the directors that did Daybreakers. It's an Australian film, mm-hmm. but again, not getting the release, not getting the publicity, and
how
getting
did he
literally
see it?
Nothing.
How did Neil?
It's on demand.
It's
you
on
can
demand.
Check it out on demand. But it's also another fan had brought it up too. You guys got to see this movie. It's Ethan Hawke, and Neil starts his review off by saying it was a great January surprise. You know, it was a good movie released at the right time because there was nothing else to watch. And he said it's a solid science fiction time travel movie.
All right.
So definitely check it out. Yeah. No, I wanted to see it too. I had heard ever since one of our Australian fans said, look for this film. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I really want to see this.
And
it's based on a Robert Heinlein story. And it's like, from what I hear, it's like classic good science fiction.
And guys, just so you know, I mean, you guys send us recommendations all the time, and we can't get to all of them, but please keep sending them because you guys send us some great stuff that wouldn't have known about otherwise. And again, as we've said, I love touting a good indie film that might not be getting that much press,
right. mm-hmm.
you know? So thanks again for that, you guys.
And one thing I want to mention too about the shopping cart right now, like we still have a lot of stuff in stock. We've got all the Dana Gould stuff. We're actually going to be adding some more stuff in there, although we're going to be putting some stuff on sale soon too. Yeah. We're going to be putting some Hit Clown stuff. And Hello Junkie shirts are going to be on sale soon. But also, every once in a while, we go into the cart and we see there's a couple of failed orders. So, like, if you guys are having trouble checking out or anything, just let us know because we don't really have a bunch of people working on the cart every day that know. Like, if there's anything like wrong that's not working, let us know. Just info@comedyfilmnerds.com, and that'll kind of make us aware of it a little bit more. Like last year, around this time, PayPal shut off our cart without telling us. And we were about 6 weeks to 2 months without orders. I'm like, oh, some orders haven't come in a while. And then we realized, no, you guys couldn't order anything because it was broken, thanks to PayPal. So,
banks.
So let us know if you're having any trouble, because that's how we find out.
All right, guys, that's our episode. This was a good one. Thank you, guys. Grant, where can people find you on the internet, listen to your podcast, watch it, see you do a puppetry?
Where will you be watching Radioland Murders again?
In my house. That's really the only place it shows. But no, you can go to MrGrant.com. That's MRGRANT.com. That has all my stuff. I just put everything there. So if it's a kid show or if it's a Puppet Up or whatever, it'll all be on that website. And then Nerdament is at Nerdament.com. That's the show on Stan Lee's YouTube channel that I'm doing right now. It's a lot of fun. So if you like superpowers, go check it out.
Maybe we'll post that the Nerdament clip with Stan Lee on the Facebook page.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. How long is the clip?
That episode, I can send you the promo, and it has a clip of him in it, but that episode hasn't come out yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
it'll be in a few weeks, well, but then, I'll send you a
send
link to the promo.
Yeah. Sure.
Please do, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that was a good episode, and I think that's it. Let's see. I will be doing comics on Safari with Murray Valeriano and several other surfing comics on February 11th at the Brea Improv. Also, bring your Pro Flowers bouquet to the Hollywood Improv on February 14th. I'm headlining. We've got a really great show. Helen Wong is the MC. We've got David Huntsberger, who's been on the show, Lori Kilmartin, who we're going to get on the show, and Baron Vaughn, who's been on the show.
Oh, that's a great show.
It's a great lineup. So, and they're having a... I posted this on my Facebook, and I'll post it on Film Nerds as well. They're having like a deal. You can buy the ticket, or you can come and get like a Valentine's Day package that comes with, like, you know, a champagne and a rose or some shit like that. So so come on down. That's February 14th at the Hollywood Improv, and then headlining the Improv in Harrah's in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 17th through 22nd. Check that out.
And I will be at Lake Tahoe.
Hey!
In February 11th through the 15th. So I will be there for Valentine's Day. So also bring your Pro Flowers bouquet. Mm-hmm. I'll be there with Will Durst. I'm really looking forward to it. But please come check that out. And then I will
And make sure Chris goes to see Mordecai.
Yes. If you guys want, if someone wants to come with me to see Mordecai,
let him wiggle
you're more
out
than
it.
Welcome. And also, I will be then back in town working on the CFN Village. So... designing it. Maybe Paige Branson will draw some stuff. Come
Uh-oh.
On. I think this is going to be a thing. I'm going to work right. on this. I'm for it.
Okay. As long as I have some sort of sword builder village or part or hut.
You want a blacksmith.
I want a blacksmith. A swordsmith, okay. so to All speak. Right. Not so to speak. That's exactly what you call it. So, all right, guys.
So and
we got some crazy bullshit coming up.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to put in a working kiln, a working paper kiln, so, so you could fire your own sword the size of a toothpick.
Oh God, I think we just lit the fuse on a nerd explosion.
I think we should kickstart it. Kickstart a CFN Christmas village.
Oh God.
Well, maybe
Chris.
We'll make it ceramic. Anyway,
I'm going to kill you. Yeah. I'm going to kill you.
So, folks, that is our show. Don't forget proflowers.com and use the coupon code CFN. It's only good until this Friday. February 8th. And I think that's it.
That's it. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, guys.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
We're making the village.
God damn it.